Okay, good morning. I think I'm ready now. Let's ask God to bless our time together this morning. Dear God, we thank you for the way that we were led to your throne in worship. God, we again are awe in your presence, and we ask that you would continue to be with us this morning as we look into your word, as we look into the many gifts, the spiritual gifts exactly that you give us. God, we again are humbled by the way that you choose to use us. Help us to continually be humbled by your presence. I just pray that you would speak to those here this morning, that you would be able to use this information again to further your kingdom and to bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we got that up on the board already. Good. I'll read it here. No congregation will be what it could be, what Jesus prayed that it should be, what the Holy Spirit gifted it to be until it understands and employs spiritual gifts. We will be studying these next few weeks from the material from a fellow named Dan Ryland. And this morning, some of my own thoughts have been sprinkled in here, but the basis of this comes from Dan's material. This is an introduction to a 2-month-plus long look at spiritual gifts. It appears we'll be ending sometime in June. There'll be a break in there for Father's Day and maybe Bible school and Mother's Day and a few breaks here and there, but we'll be concentrating on spiritual gifts for these next few months. I have come to appreciate this man, Dan Ryland's insights, and I personally am excited to bring you some of these texts and a closer look at the specific gifts in the next few weeks. I have quite a few slides to go through this morning, so it is a different morning for me. It feels a little bit more like a presentation. I pray that the Spirit will be able to use it again to encourage you this morning. The primary scriptures that we're going to look at from Romans is, there's a few of them, the next few slides. The first one's Romans 12, 4 to 8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now in Romans 12, it's a key chapter, and I know we're going to spend more time in here later on in the next few weeks. But Romans 12, verses 3, and again in verses 9 to 21, Romans 12 gives us the attitude in which to use our gifts. So, pick up on that. Romans 3, verse 3 and Romans 9 through 21 give us the attitude in which we're to use our gifts. In Romans 3 here, I have it up here on the board for you, for Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And oftentimes, as God shows us through his word, and he talks about spiritual gifts, he often has a prelude, and it's a little bit of an attitude check. And I put on my slide here, attitude is everything. And it brings to mind an old poster that I saw of this chimpanzee kind of leaning back against the wall and had jeans on and his cuffs rolled up and little suspenders and a duffer's hat and a little piece of straw sticking out of his mouth and chrome shades with his arms folded. He was looking pretty tough, and the poster said, attitude is everything. And I think, again, it's in the reverse effect, but attitude is everything as we begin to look at our spiritual gifts. And again, in 1 Corinthians 12, looking at that entire chapter, I'll pick out again about the attitude here, starting in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I think that's key. that your spiritual gift was given for the profit of everybody, not just you and not just your family, but the gift, the spiritual gift that God has given you is for the profit of everyone. We will be looking at Ephesians 4, 7 through 16 this morning, also 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. And again, to help us further get a grasp of spiritual gifts, this gentleman, Dan Ryland, has compiled a series of questions and answers. And I enjoy learning from questions and answers. And so I've pulled out 10 of his questions this morning. And we're going to begin to look at those questions and answer them as we go through this morning. So our first question this morning is, do I choose my own gift? No. And this is kind of foundational. The Holy Spirit is the gift in us. The Holy Spirit is the gift. God just decides how to manifest that gift through you according to the needs of the kingdom. And you could add, at that time. This is your spiritual gift. God manifesting His Spirit that is already in you in a tangible way for the advancement of His kingdom. So again, God might change your gift. And as you receive responsibility, your gift might morph a little bit and grow. Or if your responsibilities change, you may be gifted in other areas. But know that the Spirit of God is the gift, and that does not change. You receive the Holy Spirit upon conversion. So if your gifts change, don't think that oh, God is changing or something's really big going on. No. Your gift is the Holy Spirit. God chooses to manifest it, to show that in different ways to different people at different times in your life. So what is a spiritual gift? And this is his definition. I really enjoyed it. It's a distinctive, unique ability given through the Holy Spirit to every Christian according to God's grace and design for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Do all Christians receive spiritual gifts? Yes. We all receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. So yes, all receive spiritual gifts. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the gift to all Christians. And how this is made manifest is different and as unique as we are. Because we all have different lengths of hair. And we all have different eye color. And we all have difference. God enjoys variety. If you don't know, look outside and count the shades of green. Because God enjoys variety. And the shades of blue or other colors you may want to pick. God enjoys variety. And in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully at administering God's grace in its various forms. Why did God choose to give me spiritual gifts? Great question. And there's many answers, and we've backed them all up with Scripture. To glorify Himself, to bring Him praise. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. In that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why did God choose to give me spiritual gifts? To build up the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Also to develop unity in the body of Christ. I thought this was a great point. He gave us all spiritual gifts to develop unity, to bring us together. Till we all come to the unity of faith, it says in Ephesians 4, 13. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, why did God choose to give me spiritual gifts? To develop maturity in the body of Christ. Your gift is given you to help you develop maturity. That we should no longer, it says in Ephesians 4, be tossed to and fro, carried about with the very wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning and craftiness, deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And I think there's a quote here from a fellow named Fred Smith. I don't know him. It was in Dan Ryland's material, and I like it. He says, God is not interested in your success as your maturity. And God is not as interested in your success as He is your maturity. And I would add to the youth, I think your parents might feel the same way. Your parents might be more interested in your maturity than how successful you become. And I think it's true that parents, and I think God as well, knows that true success does not come until one is mature. It works together. So again, why did God choose to give me spiritual gifts? To grow the body of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And why did God choose to give me spiritual gifts? For the common good of the body of Christ. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now notice this list. The reasons why God gave you spiritual gifts. Okay, there's nothing about you in there, is there? Nope. The reason why God gave you spiritual gifts is for others. Notice that you're not listed up there. It's not for your benefit, per se, personally, to hide it, to keep it under a bushel. That's not what it's intended for. It's to bring Him glory, to build up the body of Christ, to develop unity, to develop maturity, to grow the body for the common good of the body. It's all together. It is for us. Your gift is not just for you. And if that's it, then you're not using it to the fullest of its potential. And what is the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents? Great question. Natural talents received from our biological parents, given by God through the Holy Spirit. Did you know that atheists actually have quite a bit of talents? See, but only Christians have spiritual gifts. Natural talents are present from natural birth. Spiritual gifts present from conversion. Natural talents benefit people in the earthly realm. Spiritual gifts benefit people in the spiritual realm. Natural talents advances human plans. Spiritual gifts advances God's plan. Natural talents, the results are often and usually temporal. Spiritual gifts, again, used correctly, results are eternal. Natural talents glorifies self. Whether you're a baseball player, a basketball player, football player, pretty obvious. Natural talents pretty much glorify yourself. Spiritual gifts, again, if used in the right way, spiritual gifts always glorify God. And these two things, natural talents and spiritual talents, they work together because God has gifted you both from when you were born, and then He continues to gift you at your conversion with spiritual gifts. And so you might find that your tendencies from your natural talents may fall into your spiritual gifts, may enlarge that, may incorporate some of your natural talents to enhance those. But they can work together. But from the basis, they're different. The next question is, what is the difference between fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts? I like this question. I think it's all in the name. Is it a fruit or is it a gift? See, a fruit is a byproduct. It's a factual result. You know, if you plant a tree, that is a pear tree and you water this thing and you take care of it like a pear tree needs to be taken care of, you'll have pears. Pretty much point blank. You do the same thing to an apple tree. If you cultivate it, if you plant it, if you fertilize it, if you prepare it, it will make apples. There's not much question there. You take care of the little fungus and the little bugs, apples are going to happen. It is a natural product. It's factual. Fruit is also an identity. Because we know it's an apple tree when it has apples. And the difference between a peach tree and a pear tree, unless you're pretty good, you know, you got to be within 10 feet. And then you're like, okay, I can tell by the leaves. But not, when there's fruit on, you know that's a peach tree and this is a pear tree. So fruit, again, is an identity. It's something to think about as we ponder and look at briefly the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, from Galatians 5. And again, fruit is an identity. Think about that. The fruit of the Spirit is an identity. Is this your identity? This should be your identity. When people see you, they should see fruit. It was hard for me to grasp. I shared that on Wednesday night with the youth a little bit, but yeah, fruit is a product, it's factual result, and it is an identity. It is an evidence of you being rooted and grounded and you drawing nutrients from the Father. This is the fruit. And see, all Christians have the ability to produce this fruit. None of you were shorted and said, you know what, well, my ground's not fertile. You know, I didn't get fertilizer. No. This is it. All Christians have the ability to produce this fruit upon being a Christian. So again, what is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts? The fruit of the Spirit shapes the character of a Christian. Isn't that cool? Love, joy, peace. That shapes your character. That shapes who you are. And spiritual gifts, they shape your service. It's an outgoing. Your fruit of the Spirit is an inward character. And your gifts of the Spirit is an outgoing. The fruit of the Spirit is the same for every Christian. The gifts of the Spirit are different for every Christian. As in our eye and hair color and the different traits that we have and the things that we like and don't like. God continues to gift those according to those lines with our spiritual gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of maturity. Fruit of the Spirit is evidence of maturity. And I won't put that slide back up there, but I confess I don't have all of those. And it's probably rare that we would have all of those, even though it's attainable. But on the same side, if you don't have any of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we should talk a little bit. You know, how important is God in your life? If the fruit of the Spirit is not at least one or two, evident when others look at you. But spiritual gifts is the evidence of your faithfulness. Again, spiritual gifts are a doing, an evidence of your faithfulness. This fruit of the Spirit is a permanent, continually available. There's a list of fruit of the Spirit, and there it is. It's laid down, it's nailed down, we know what it is. It's fruit. The spiritual gifts, again, God can redirect, and God can gift more. God can add as your responsibilities. God can change and redirect your spiritual gifts. He doesn't do it a lot. He's not a God of confusion, but it can happen. You can rearrange and re-gift some things. The fruit of the Spirit, this is key. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is the desired attribute itself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long patience, kindness. When you desire the fruit of the Spirit, you want that attribute. That's what you want. You desire that thing. And that's completely different from spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is a method and a means for ministry. Spiritual gifts are a tool. Spiritual gifts give you the ability to do more. It is not a means into itself. A spiritual gift, can we say, is the beginning. It needs more to happen behind it. It's not the gift in and of itself. The next question are there dangers related to spiritual gifts? And yes, there are some dangers. And the first one is coveting a particular gift. You know, when you covet a particular gift, that's saying to God that you're not happy with the way that He gifted and made you. And again, to be careful, this is one of the Ten Commandments: do not covet. So we need to be humble when God gives us the gift and receive it, and not covet others' gifts. It's important. Are there dangers related to spiritual gifts? Yes. There is a danger in assuming an attitude of spiritual authority. Again, what were the gifts given for? And the list there, they were given to you, but not for you. The reason the gifts were given were to benefit everybody, to edify the body, to build up, to encourage. It wasn't for you specifically. So again, I have a side note. Attitude is everything. And it's to be careful that we don't assume spiritual authority upon a gifting. Also, we have to be dangerous or be careful of not to neglect your gift. In 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. You know, how would it feel like, you know, or how does it feel like if you've seen a small child receive a gift at Christmas and they unwrap it and it's not what they were expecting and they put it down and they go do something else? You know, and the adults kind of chuckle, you know, well, they'll know better, you know, when they get older, you know. But it really kind of feels funny to someone that gives them a gift, a neighbor or a grandparent, and it's, you know, just didn't hit what the kid wanted at all. And I kind of connected with that as a parent. You know, I've seen that occasionally. It's been a while, but I have. And I thought, is that how God our Father feels when He gives us a gift and we're disappointed? How does God our Father feel when He gives us a gift and we open it and we're not real excited about it and we kind of set it down and neglect it? And I think it saddens His heart. I really do. I think it does. One of the things, again, to be aware of is making sure that we focus not on the gift, but we are to focus on the application. Again, a gift is in order for you to do something. It enables you to do more. And I just got a brand new DeWalt saw. It goes both ways, and it comes out this way, and it has all kinds of bells and whistles. But if I took that to a job and I described to somebody how wonderful my saw is, okay, nice saw. You know what they want to know? What are you going to do with that saw? And spiritual gifts are the same way. We can't focus on the gift. We need to focus on its application, on what can be done with the gift. Again, the danger related to spiritual gifts potentially bring attention to yourself rather than God. Hiding behind your spiritual gift. Oh, that's a good one. That's dangerous. You know, especially as Bible school is coming up, you might think, well, you know, teaching is not my gift, but I have faith. I have faith that you'll find someone else, you know. So, working in your giftings, you have received more blessing. And we'll get back to that. We'll cover this in the next few weeks. But as you work in your giftings, you'll receive greater fulfillment and greater blessing. But it doesn't mean that on the short term, you can't work outside of your giftings. You may teach Sunday school and you may teach vacation Bible school. Even if that's not your gifting, God does supply for you what you need for that time. So don't be locked in to this is it and this is all I'm doing. You know, hospitality, this is it. If they're not coming to my house, I'm not reaching out to them. Don't look at your spiritual gift in that way. Don't be locked in. Don't and I'll cover this a little bit later, but don't put God in a box. Be open to his leading, and don't hide behind your specific spiritual gift. And is my gift complete or mature when I discover it? No. No, it's like a muscle. And if you don't use it, it kind of goes away. You know, when people train for a marathon, well, I should say when they run a marathon, they don't just go run. They train for a marathon. It takes effort. It takes responsibility. It takes dedication in order to confine yourself to accomplish tasks with the body, the physical body that God gave you, in the same way with the spiritual gifts that God gives you. It takes exercise. It takes effort. It takes discipline to grow your muscles in your spiritual gifts. Do spiritual gifts operate independent of one another? This is a good question. No. Spiritual gifts are not independent of each other. You know, what is knowledge without discernment? What is leading without mercy? What is administration without wisdom? What is exhortation without helps and giving? What is faith without teaching and service? But guess what? We rarely get the balancing gift. We sometimes do, but we don't always get the balancing gift. What is that? What's that for? It's for us to put our arms around each other and for us to encourage one another. It's for us to be a part of a body of fellowship. It's to build up individuals. It's for a coming together. So, what are the spiritual gifts? Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so, again, the gifts of the Spirit are prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues, apostles, evangelists, pastors, helps, hospitality, administration, music, craftsmanship, missionary, intercession. And these are the 24 gifts that we will be studying in the next few weeks. These last seven, the helps, hospitality, administration, music, craftsmanship, missionary, and intercession. I did not specifically cover their scriptures this morning. They do have a scriptural basis for them, and we'll be getting into that in the next few weeks again. So I do have a little disclaimer. And this list that we shared, the 24 items, is not absolutely 100% always correct. You see, if we got a precise, exact list of spiritual gifts, we would put that in a box, we would bronze that thing, we'd put it on a tablet, and we would say, these are the spiritual gifts. That's it. Nothing would move. You see, God's listing in Scripture, and his gifts aren't always exactly the same in the many places he has them in Scripture. And so God, again, he continues to move and to change and to work those gifts in you. And it's not hard and fast, because if it was hard and fast, we'd put God in a box. God in gifting you and I with the spiritual gifts the sole purpose of building up and maturing us and unifying us, all while bringing Him praise and glory. Again, we cannot and should not ever put God in a box. We can't confine Him in how He works. All of these gifts are to expand God, not to limit Him. And so, be prepared. These next 23, 24 gifts we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. The next week's message is called Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. And in May, again, we'll begin to unwrap each gift with more clarity and understanding. And we'll cover 3 to 4 gifts each week through the month of June. And our desire is that you use what you get. Our desire as spiritual leaders is for you to understand and to know more fully the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. It's there. We want you to recognize the Holy Spirit in you. We want you to use the power of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives you uniquely and individually to further the cause for Christ here in this church, in your neighborhoods, and around the world through your spiritual gifts. And your gifts are your unique as you are. And I'm excited to, again, begin this series and this study to bring you encouragement to build up this body, to encourage each other, to bring us to a greater maturity, to allow us to reach to our neighbors, to allow us to reach to our world around us. Let's pray. God, again, we are humbled that you choose to give us gifts. God, I pray that we would put ourselves in the right mindset. Give us the right attitude to receive what you have for us through our spiritual gifts. Give us the humble ability to use them for your honor and for your glory, that we may encourage others. We again thank you for the way that you equip us for your task. And God, whatever your task is now that lays before us, give us the ability to hear you, to be able to focus on your word, that we truly would be able to be equipped to reach ourselves and our congregation, our neighbors, and our world as we go from here. We are so thankful that you love us and that you care for us, and we are humbled that you use us, God. And I pray that we would be able to take up in that same humble spirit the responsibility of the gifts that you give us, that we would be able to minister and go forth from here in your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister may come and lead us with a closing song.